Everybody hear me? It's so great to be here in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday evening. And tonight is Bible study night. And you get to hear from your pastor tonight. It's been it's been a long haul this month. My wife and I have been out of town working up at our church camp in Shawano. And a lot of you have been up there. I'll explain a little bit more about that a little bit later. But I just wanted to take, before we get started in this service, if we could just all stand this evening. Many of you may have heard, got the message that Sister Sue Wittenbach passed away this morning. And it was not an expected passing. She has been sick for some time, but was not something that we had expected or the family had expected. So I've talked with Brother Ron and Sister Jane Rossing. And just remember them in your prayers. Brother Jerry's going to come, and we have some other things to pray about. But just remember Ron and Sister Jane and their family. And we don't have details yet as far as when the funeral arrangements will be. So we'll be letting you know that is probably Friday evening in our all-church prayer meeting. We'll spend a few minutes kind of covering that. Other than that, it'll be Sunday. We'll also give that information out. So, Brother Jerry, come and lead us in prayer.
Let's all go to the Lord in prayer right now. We're going to especially pray for the Wittenbach family and all those that are related, and that they would have the peace of God upon their houses and homes this evening, facing terrible news of a family member dying. And if anybody else has any needs, special requests, would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now? Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you'll touch every single person that's brought their faith before you today, Lord Jesus, with a raised hand. Lord God, we ask you to touch their bodies and sick if they're in sickness, oh God, touch their finances if they're in trouble. God, we ask you to touch their mental state, whatever might be happening, and anxiety, family pressures, whatever's going on. But especially tonight, Lord God, we ask you to touch, Lord, these families that have been affected by the death of Sue. Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch them, God. Give them the peace of God in their house. Give them the peace of God in their interactions and all of the things. So much stress can happen in these times. Oh, God, we ask you to just take the stress out of it. She was a child of God, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, that the peace of God be upon all of these things, that these details that people will be going over for the next few days. God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that all of these things would be handled and that the Spirit of God would be upon all of those that are involved. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Yeah, I have a few announcements I need to make real fast. First of all, we'd like to welcome all of our guests here tonight. If this is your first time worshiping with us, if you're online, there's a little link that we'd like for you to follow that would give us some information about you that we can get back in touch with you. Typically, we would just call you sometime this week and just try to connect, see if you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to learn more about the Bible or get connected in our church in any other way. And we're just glad you're here. If you're here in person, we have the very same thing, but it's just a little iPad that's in a kiosk in the foyer. You could talk to one of our ushers, and they could help you with that. And we just are glad you're here tonight. We have some giving options at CGC. There's four ways to give. You can give online on our website. You can give in person at the little clear box at the kiosk in the back. Or you can give by mail, or you can give on the Church Center mobile giving app, and that would all of your donations and your tithes and offerings, those go to keep our church functioning and all the church plants moving along and all the different ministries of our church going. And I'm just so thankful for all of you guys that have been so faithful to give. Our church is seemingly doing well, and I just appreciate you and thank you so much. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Amen. So the announcements, this Friday night, June 2nd at 7 p.m. is all church prayer. Woo-hoo! All right. So Sister Brown's been doing a fantastic job with that, and so we should come expecting. Why don't you just make a special effort this week to come to prayer? Summer's time seems like people can get a little slack in their faithfulness occasionally and get busy doing other things, but let's come to prayer on Friday night, amen? And this Saturday, June 3rd, there was a ladies' day trip that was planned, but due to the passing of Sister Wittenbach and a couple other things, we're going to be canceling that for right now. So please understand that the ladies' day trip is canceled. It's not going to be happening, okay? So I know that says that it will be at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on June 3rd, but please don't come expecting that to happen. It is now canceled. So there is, at 5 p.m., a Section 3 stakeout at the Victory Apostolic Church in Beaver Dam. And Pastor Ogie, the new pastor in Beaver Dam, will be preaching at that event. And so it's the typical stakeout, so please bring your own meat item. Anybody want to bring a big, huge ribeye or a great big tomahawk or any of those things, that's the time to do it. Try to impress everybody with your selection of meat. It's a good time to do it. Amen. And so that'll start at 5 p.m. Brother, I'm actually speaking at another event earlier that day, and then I'll be coming a little bit late to this, and so Brother Marvin Remvick is kind of organizing some of the men to go, and he'll be there running the grills. He could use some help. If you want to show up there early, he'll be happy to see you, and you can just text him or call him. Let him know that you're going to be there with him. Amen. It'll be a great time. There's another announcement that's not on our list of announcements, but I don't know if everyone's heard, but the Stopes are moving back to Calvary Gospel Church and the Madison area. In fact, they bought a new house in Wanakee, I don't know if it's new or not, but they have a house in Wanakee, and they're going to be moving in tomorrow at 5 p.m. They're going to begin moving, and we can use all the help that we can get, moving boxes and small items and helping get things in and out of the U-Haul trucks. And so if you'd like to help tomorrow at 5 p.m., please come and see me. After service, all hands, ladies, it's not all about just big furniture that day. It's a lot of little items. We especially want to be very welcoming, welcoming to them, to have them come back to our church family, and we're just glad to have them back. There's also Sunday, larger items will be moved, and so if you're a man who wants to help out on Sunday, we could use some help on that day as well. And so at this time, let's all stand. So I'll just stretch. Remember, Brother Galen always has a stretch. Gets oxygen flowing in the right places. I'm saying that because I would like for you, whenever we begin our worship service on this Wednesday night, would you just treat it like it's just a good old-fashioned Sunday night? And just let's just sing unto the Lord and praise the Lord tonight. Amen.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness. My fortress, over and over, I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through the way through the waters, walk me through the fire. your power for all to see. Spirit, come, fall on us.
Over and over.
Over and over.
Oh, Lord,
make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. Do what you
presence is an open door.
has been enough, and I'm believing the best is yet to come. The cross before me, my hope on things above, and in you, Jesus, the best is yet to come. Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord again, church. It is so great to be here. And it's been a long haul. It's been a fast month. I don't know about the rest of you, but hard to believe that we're already looking at June, 1st of June. And life just seems to speed up. I have this theory on this, and you know, I may be right, I may be wrong, but I think God just has gone up to that clock, and he's just like, well, okay, we're going to make an hour. We'll make it 45 minutes now. But nevertheless, you can be seated this evening. And I just want to congratulations to all of our graduates. We've had a number of high school graduations and college and Bible school. And I just want to throw out a congratulations to all of our students, whether they're locally here, scattered all over the country with college and Bible school and such. But congratulations to all of that. We've been in a series for a few months now, talking about mental health issues, and then we kind of took a little bit of a detour on this, talking about triggers, things that trigger us that lead to negative mindsets. And I was talking with Brother Jerry Simmons before service, and literally everything that we do, say, actions, personalities, all of this has nothing to do with our kidneys. I'm just saying. Doesn't have anything to do with your gallbladder, your pancreas, your liver. Doesn't have anything to do with your lungs, your heart. Those are all organs that we need in order to function. But everything we say, all of our thoughts, all of our organs in our body other than our brain controls everything we do and what we are, who we are, and why we have become what we are. Everything begins and ends literally in your mind. Yet, when it comes to health and when it comes to spiritual health, your spiritual well-being starts in your mind. It starts with habits, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit. We're going to end up this series talking about habits that we can use, that we can develop to help us have mentally strong, healthy thoughts and a healthy spiritual life. Everything begins and ends between our two ears. We've been reading in our series our passage from Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read this again this evening. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that is our key focal point in these verses, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. That little word discern is a very, very potent word, and I'm working on a study and basically just talking about how to discern. I feel that the gift of discernment is a gift that every Christian, especially in the day and age that we live today, we need to pray for wisdom. We need to ask God for wisdom. We don't have to pray for wisdom. We need to ask God. Scripture says just ask. Ask God for wisdom, and we need to pray for discernment, because there are so many things out there that are laying to trick us, to trip us, to suck us in, and we need to be able to know what is the perfect will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're talking about triggers that lead to a negative mindset. So what does being triggered look like? This is a little bit of a review because it's been a few weeks, but being triggered can take many forms. Some are pretty easy to pick out. We all have things within us. We've used this as an example, as a husband and a wife, that our wives know exactly which buttons to push, and our husbands know which buttons to push, and children know which buttons to push with their siblings. We all learn that very early in life. We know how to get our way. I'm amazed at some of the little toddlers that are 2 years old, that can barely walk, can't talk, but they know exactly what to do to get mom or dad's attention. So triggers can take on many forms. Some are very easy to pick out and identify, and others can be a little bit more subtle. And it's safe to assume that any time we're feeling a negative emotion, more often than not, we're feeling our own, what we covered in our last lesson, what we have a lie-based belief. And I went over that in detail, so you can go back and review that if you would like to. But what I mean with that, I mean that most negativity in our thought patterns are usually not based on fact or on truth. Someone says something, or we think someone says something about us, and across the room, perhaps, Brother Kerry Millen looks over my direction, and he turns to his wife, and he says something. They both start laughing and roll their eyes, and automatically, in my insecurity and in all of the issues that I have with everybody around here, I'm triggered. And I begin to think, they're talking about me. And we begin to conjure up all these things in our minds on, well, what did I do to them? I don't even park close to them, so I know I didn't ding his car. I haven't gone out to eat with them. I don't know what I could have done, but I did something because they were looking at me. And see, what begins to happen is we have this lie-based belief system that is triggered by a thought process that is not even based on fact. And we have a whole world of social media that lives this lie-based belief system every day. You can be whoever you want to be. Doesn't matter. Because what you present to other people, they have no way. Those pictures you see, you don't know. There's more. If Photoshop and photo cropping would have never have been invented, it would be a very different world. But you can put yourself anywhere you want to put yourself, with anybody you want to put yourself. You can change your features. You can do all kinds of things. So we live in a world that has a lie-based belief system that is not based on fact or truth. It's in our minds. And if we're not careful, we can tell ourselves over and over and over and over again a lie, and sooner than later, we will begin to believe that lie. We see this all the time happening around us. Most of the negative emotions we feel are never biblically acceptable emotions or how God designed us to be or live. Paul writes to us in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and this is a hard passage of Scripture to swallow. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And with that, you would like to pause and say, are you serious, Paul? You're shipwrecked. You've been shipwrecked. You've been bitten by a viper. You've been written off as dead. You're rotting in a prison cell in Rome, waiting to get your head cut off. And you're telling us to not be anxious about anything. Oh, to be like Paul, huh? How many of you get anxious from time to time? I've had some anxious moments over the last few weeks. But in every situation, he doesn't say in certain situations, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. This is powerful. And the peace of God, not a peace of God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which means is above and beyond our abilities to comprehend it. And the peace of God above your ability and my ability to comprehend it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We want to talk about negative mindsets and how to stay away from negativity and having all of those negative thoughts run rampant in our minds and in our hearts. This passage of scripture right here, it's the peace of God, having the peace of God in our lives. Now, we talked about the number one trigger that people deal with is offenses. People get offended. And we live in a lawsuit-happy culture where being offended is the norm. And if anyone remotely thinks you said something to minimize their worth, look out. You got a fight on your hands. And there's conflict in the air. And perhaps we've noticed this ourselves as well, that offenses build fences. So that means if we are offended at someone, we begin to build a fence. We begin to put up barriers. I'm offended at Sister Sarah George because she didn't wave at me when I drove past her house yesterday, and I waved ferociously and she ignored me, so I'm offended and I'm just kidding. I drive by their house on my way home almost every day. This is pretend, okay? But you see, that's what happens. We start building a fence. Well, what did I do to her? We laugh about all of this, but we get sucked into it. We build fences, but forgiveness and believing the best break those walls down. God forbid the lady's got two bags of groceries and a gallon of milk hanging off her pinky finger. That's why she can't wave. But we don't look at it that way. Good sense, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. If you read the book of Proverbs all month, 19 days into it, you should run across this verse. Good sense makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. You know, so many times when we become offended, the best thing to do is just overlook it and ignore it, because most people don't intentionally go around offending people. Offenses are let go with forgiveness and trusting that God has our back. We're in his best interest. It's so freeing to be able to let go of offenses and let go of worrying about self. Because when you're caught up in offenses, all the time you're offended, everything becomes about you. Becomes about you. Before I go any further, it is so good to be back home. And I want to thank all of our staff that kept things in good health while we were gone. Pastor Seidel, our executive pastor, and keeping things running and smoothly, and I'm very, very appreciative of that. And also, I know we had the Bratfest that went on while we were gone, and I want to thank the Canops and all of the team Bratfest. I know probably Sister Thorpe was there and such. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we had a great work week up at camp. It was a little stressful. We have a new caretaker up at camp, Brother Justin Roche, his family, Jennifer, and they have four kids, and they're from out, originally from the Fox Valley. He's from Pennsylvania. They met in somewhere, and they ended up in South Carolina, and now they're back here as our new caretakers. But you'll meet them up at camp if you go to camp. A great couple, and it was his first year, his first season, so a lot of a learning curve. And we ended up staying a couple days longer than what we had anticipated, just because we had some issues that had to be resolved. And I called Brother Seidel back on, I believe it was Tuesday late afternoon, and I said, "Brother, it's not going to happen. I wanted to be home for Pentecost Sunday and to be able to speak, but I realized on Tuesday that, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So I'm not going to put ourselves under all this pressure." We ended up getting home last Sunday night, about 11:15 at night, and we would have been there much, much longer if it wouldn't have been for the Stone family staying over on Sunday and bailing us out all Sunday afternoon. So we had a lot of folks from Calvary were up there, and I'm going to miss somebody if I start naming names, but a lot of, and that made it so much easier for my wife and I, because it's like family working together on the campground, and it felt like we were away from home, but we were at home because we had all of our close people around us from Calvary here, and thank you so very, very much. And moving on, I just wanted to say that before I got too deep into tonight. We talk about offenses and how to deal with them in a Christian biblical manner. We have relationships that are stressed. We live in a world of such high stress and such high strain. And our families are being stretched in every direction. And people wish to resolve their differences. This is something that I've been thinking about for a long time, and this doesn't necessarily go with triggers that lead to healthy mindsets, but it's something that I feel like is important that we need to cover this. And if this is all I get covered in the next 15 minutes, then that will be something well accomplished. People wish to resolve their differences. I've talked to people that have had offenses. I've talked to people that have had differences with other people, and they wish to resolve their differences, but can that really be done? Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, reading from the NIV, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, as he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." In other words, if you look at this, what Paul is saying is that God, through Jesus Christ, restored his relationship with humanity. And he didn't hold people's faults against them. And he has given us this message of restored relationships so that we can tell others, when you want to repair a relationship where there is conflict, I don't know of anybody here or anybody alive today that doesn't have some sort of a relationship that doesn't have conflict with it. If you want to repair a relationship where there is conflict, hear me, this is so critical. You have to focus on reconciliation, not on resolution. Okay? Listen, you have to focus on reconciling, not resolving. And there's a big, big difference. between the two. Reconciliation means that you reestablish the relationship. It doesn't mean that if you're divorced and you're fighting with your ex that you have to remarry your ex. That's not what it means. It just means that you are to be at peace with one another. We have a lot of families in our church that are blended families. And with blended families comes conflict. I don't care how good you are as a Christian. I don't care how much you pray and fast. You can't control the other half. Either way, you can't control it. And you try to reconcile, or you try to resolve the differences when you should be looking to reconcile. You see, the truth is there are some things in your marriage. Let me back up a little because I missed. Reconciliation means reestablishing your relationship. Resolution means you resolve your disagreement. And that just isn't always going to happen. Even here among us in the church, there are differences between us that we at times simply cannot resolve. Everybody understand that? The truth is, there are some things in your marriage that you cannot resolve. Listen to me. This is going to save you so much. You talk about having peace in your life, a peace which passes all understanding. If we could just grasp this, there are some things in your friendships that you can't resolve. There are some things in your work relationships that you're never going to agree on. I have worked with people for years and could never come to agreement with them on everything. I could never resolve every difference that we had. There are some things that you just simply can't fix. There are those that are sitting here tonight. We all have our own opinions. Now, many of you are love end time Bible prophecy. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have an issue with that. I like reading. I like studying. I get into it occasionally. But one of the most controversial books that I have ever heard mentioned or preached about in the Bible is the book of Revelations. And I've had or heard more people arguing over the book of Revelations. Only after 20 years or 30 years go by, you realize that everyone was wrong. I've known of brothers in the church that won't fellowship with other brothers because of differences in opinions. Sisters of families. So there are those sitting here tonight. We all have our own opinions, our own way of doing things. We all have our own way of raising families. I'm going to get a little bit pastoral here. We have some groups, family groups. And Pastor Peter, I will tell you that one of the biggest conflicts that we've had in some of these groups is people can't agree on how to raise families. But can I just tell you something? How you raise your family, that's your business. Because the bottom line is every one of these four kids, you're stuck with. I don't got to deal with it. That's the truth. If his little boy grows up and causes him all kinds of grief, I go home every night, peaceful, quiet. Doesn't bother me any. That's Peter's problem. You see, how I raise my family and how he raises his family, he's responsible for his family. I'm responsible for my family. And we have folks that can't get along because difference of opinions on how you're supposed to raise children. How you're supposed to feed your children. Jack, is your dad not feeding you well enough? Is that a problem here? You see, but the bottom line is we have to do what we feel is right. And we are accountable to God for our families. But it's a shame when we can't get together sometimes in fellowship because, well, they believe in this or they believe in that or they don't vaccine and I do and all of this stuff. You know, there are some things, folks, that we're never going to agree on. We can just disagree without being disagreeable because we're all different. I mean, there are some of you guys in here that would never drive a Chevy if somebody gave you a brand new one. And there are some of us in here that would never drive a Ford. You know what? They all have problems. They all rust out. Transmissions go bad on all of them. Tires go bald on all of them. They all fall apart. They all end up in the junkyard at some point in time. So if you want to drive a Dodge to the junkyard, drive a Dodge. I'll drive my Chevy to the same junkyard. But can we sit down in church and worship the Lord and be friends with one another and go out and have dinner with one another and fellowship with one another? Just as long as you don't park that thing next to my truck. You see, when one, listen, hear me now. When one can disagree without being disagreeable, that's called spiritual maturity. So how you interpret Revelation and how you interpret chapter 7 or chapter 11 or how you interpret, you know what? We can sometimes just disagree without being disagreeable. And we can be spiritually mature. And we can be wise. And we can be like Christ. You see, we can have, listen, those of you taking notes, you can write this down. We can have unity without uniformity. Which means we all don't have to think the exact same way. Now, I have this theory on the upper room. The Bible says they were all in one mind and one accord. I don't personally feel like every one of those 120 were all thinking the exact same thoughts at the same time. Because I understand that I have a hard enough time thinking the same thought for 2 minutes without getting distracted, let alone putting 120 people in the room all thinking the same thing. Now understand, they had never experienced the Holy Ghost. They didn't know what was coming. So they couldn't all be thinking about exactly what was going to be happening. Their minds had to be, but I believe that there was unity, not necessarily uniformity in the upper room. They were there. They were all thinking about God. They were all thinking about the words of Jesus. They were all thinking about what was to come, even though their thoughts may have been different because we're all different. So we can have unity without uniformity. We can walk hand in hand together without seeing eye to eye. My wife Lois and I, we've been married for 41 years. This, in a few weeks, In a few weeks, it'll be 42 years that we've been married. And you know what? We don't see eye to eye on everything. We're struggling to have come to the same conclusion on where we want to go to share, have our anniversary for 42 years. What do you think of this? We'll get there. But you know what? Even though we don't agree on everything, she likes liver and onions. I absolutely detest the smell of both. Well, onions are good. I like onions. Liver, uh-uh. No, you don't even cook it in my house. If you want, well, you go out to eat and eat it, but in a house, uh-uh. But you know, we came to this conclusion that's okay. It's not a deal breaker. When I found out she liked liver after we'd been married for a half a dozen years, I didn't say, "I can't do this anymore. You're out." No! I said, "I can work with that." And there are a lot of things that she, no doubt, if she had this microphone tonight, I would run and hide. You see, we can walk hand in hand and support each other, and we can be at peace with one another. We can be in unity without uniformity. Here's some godly advice for married couples. If you focus on restoring your relationship, oftentimes the issue becomes insignificant. How many of your biggest arguments were over the smallest of things? We fight about so many little things, but in the reality of it all, the fights aren't really about those things. They're about bigger issues. Brother Ben Thompson has a saying that he says and has said many times. I've heard him say it, that the issue is never the issue. So instead of trying to agree on every little issue, we need to get back to focusing on the relationship. You see, there's a lot of conflict in this world. And it's only getting worse. It's only getting worse. The earth is filled with wars. The Bible tells us this, that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. I mean, all over the planet, there's conflict. There's division. There's division in politics, and there's division in arguing, and there's prejudice, and there's racism, and there's terrorism, and there's partisanism. And as a result of all of this, we have broken relationships. We have broken, hear me, we have broken economies. We have broken government. And because all of this affects us, we have broken families. And government can't help because it's broken. We can't look at the economy to help because it's broken. We can't look at anything outside of God and His Word because almost everything around us is broken. We have broken lives. We have broken hearts. And I challenge you tonight as a Christian. What does a Christian mean? A Christian means to be Christ-like. I challenge us tonight as a Christian, as we stand to our feet and our musicians can come, to commit to being an agent of reconciliation in a world that is filled with conflict. We're talking about things that trigger us, things that lead to negative mindsets. The world doesn't know how to deal with the conflicts that it's being forced to deal with. All of these things that are flooding into our lives, all the things from the public schools and the transgenderism and all of this kind of stuff that is just is flooding into society. And society is fighting to try to figure out how to deal and handle all of this. Thus, there's going to be conflict. And it's not just going to go away because maybe we have a different president and a different election. Listen, sin very seldom goes away without repentance. It's just not going to go away. It may just shift forms. It may take on a different form, but it's not going away. So church, we need to be looking for ways to bring people together rather than tearing people apart. Everybody that walks through this door, whether they're a saint or a sinner, we're not always going to agree with everything. I don't agree with everything you do in your life, and you probably wouldn't agree with everything that I do. But what does Paul instruct us to do? What did he tell us in Philippians? He says, God has restored our relationship with him through Christ and has given us this ministry of restoring relationships. I am so thankful, Brother Seidel, that God doesn't hold faults against me. I'm so thankful for all the dumb things I've done in the past. And when I mean the past, I'm talking like, 5 o'clock this afternoon. All the dumb things we do, our frustrations, our aggravations, all of these things. He doesn't hold our faults against us, and he has given us this message of restored relationship so that we can share it with others. That's what this is all about. So here tonight, as we wrap up this lesson, I want to challenge you. Work on how to better get along. Start in your own family. My brother Millen, it sure is peaceful when I'm not fighting with the wife. I don't know how your family is. I'm not trying to get into that, but Brother Kevin back in the back, I'm thankful that my wife doesn't think exactly like me. God gave me a helpmate. I'm thankful for our differences because that's what makes us complete as a couple. I'm thankful for my family. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. But God put us all here together as a body. We think different. We act different. We have different flavors, different tastes, different textures, but we're all part of his body. So Sister Brittany opens this up in song. I just want to challenge us this next week. Resolution. We're not always going to be able to resolve everything. We can reconcile. God bless you.
Around you, Jesus, you, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you at the center of it all, the center of it all, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. And from beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. Be the center. It's all about you. From my heart to the heads, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. From my heart to the heads, Jesus, be the center. All about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. And Jesus, be the center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. Jesus, be the center. And from my heart hands, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. It's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. Jesus, be the center. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. And nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all.
Praise God, praise God. When you want to repair a relationship where there is a conflict, you have to focus on reconciliation, not a resolution. Now, there's nothing wrong with resolving a difference. But if you can't get there, reconciliation means reestablishing the relationship. I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't give up on humanity. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for a God that loves, for a God that has patience, and that is long-suffering. Because sometimes we are short on patience and we're not very long-suffering. Oh, God bless you. We will be back here on Friday evening for our all-service, all-church prayer meeting. And make sure you're back here. Bring your families. This is a great opportunity to teach your children how to pray. We go about 1 hour, and Sister Linda Brown is our prayer coordinator here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we thank her so very much for organizing our prayer meetings. But God bless you. Continue to pray for the Wittenbach family, Brother Ron, Sister Jane, and Brother Craig Rossing. And God bless you, and we will see you on Friday evening.